ஸ்ரீ குஞ்சு சுவாமிஸ் ரிகலெக்ஷன்ஸ் பார்ட் டூ அட்வைஸ் ரிகார்டிங் சாஸ்திர லேர்னிங் அண்ட் மதர்ஸ் சமாதி. ஸ்ரீ குஞ்சு சுவாமி நெக்ஸ்ட் டிஸ்கிரைப்ஸ் தி அட்வைஸ் தட் ஹி ரிசீவ்ட் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீ பகவான் ஆஃப்டர் ஹேவிங் ப்ரப்போஸ்ட் ஏ ஸ்டே இன் கோவிலூர் மத் டு ஸ்டடி தி சாஸ்திராஸ் இன் ஆர்டர் டு சூட்டபிளி ரிப்ளை டு ஃபிலோசாபிக்கல் குவெஸ்சன்ஸ் போஸ்ட் பை ஸ்காலர்ஸ். ஹீ அஃப்கோர்ஸ் took Sri Bhagavan's advice in this matter to heart. The events surrounding Mother Aragamma's Samadhi, with Sri Bhagavan granting Mukti to his mother, are also brought to life in this eyewitness account. This entire interview in Tamil, conducted in 1989, is available on Arunachala Ashrama's YouTube channel. Once I went to a math where there was a congregation and they wanted to put some questions to me since I was coming from Ramanashramam. That was a very learned and scholarly audience and I doubted my ability to answer questions to the satisfaction. One of the questions put to me was, what is Akantakara Vritti? This one word actually has three distinct words in it, akhanda, akara and vritti, and they all actually mean the same thing, that is externalization. I remembered Bhagavan telling me, and also my reading about it somewhere, that the three words mean the same thing, much like samudra, akara, nadi. Samudra or ocean, akara or expanse, and nadi or river, that is when the river merges in the ocean. Similarly, akhandakara vritti is an experience and not an expression in words. The audience and the pandits were very happy because the scholarly interpretation of this term is very different. I had explained it as the pure experience of akhanda, expansive experience. This satisfied them so much that they started treating me differently. They said that I had clearly shown the difference between experience and mere theoretical learning, and that staying at Bhagavan's feet, I had experiential knowledge of the term. Another doubt raised here was about the teachings received in the presence of a guru. I explained to them that there are three types of benefit that an aspirant receives in the presence of a guru: Viveka Gati, Virakta Gati and Daiva Gati. I further elucidated that Viveka Gati was when the guru resolves the doubts that arise in the mind of a disciple when he reads a text or a scripture. Viraktagati is like Buddha's life when a strong experience causes one, by the Guru's grace, to abandon worldly life in search of the truth. In Daivagati, one comes upon a Mahatma by accident, even while not consciously searching for him. The disciple then gets the understanding and the experience simply while listening to the Mahatma expound scriptural text to another person, or even by merely hearing it. This explanation of mine impressed the audience very much. Seeing this reaction of the audience, I felt I should read more of the Vedantic text so that I could give scholarly replies wherever I went, thus bringing fame and praise to my guru, Sri Bhagavan. A person at the math told me that if one mastered all the 16 sastras, one would become an encyclopedia of Vedanta. He also offered to teach me all 16 sastras if I stayed in that math. I told him that I could spare only 1 month And that in just 1 month, it would not be possible to master all 16. I came back to Ramanashramam to seek Bhagavan's permission to go and live at Kovil Urmath and study the 16 Sastras. Bhagavan gave a searching look and said, "Now you are going to read Vedanta. How about Siddhanta? Again, you would have read all of them in Tamil, but how about in Sanskrit?" Bhagavan kept adding to the list of things I could learn. I couldn't understand Bhagavan's questions, so I stood there silently. He then said, "What is the use of gaining all this knowledge? If you come to know one thing, that will be all right." As I stood motionless, he added, "If you learn to stay fixed in the heart, everything is known." I could not understand even this. Then Bhagavan said, "If you stay in your heart and someone asks you a question, an answer will come to you like an echo from the heart, and that will be the right answer." Since this conversation, whenever Bhagavan saw me in the hill reading some scriptural text, he would come up to me and say mockingly, "Are you reading for yourself or for helping others?" I used to feel ashamed. Also, being a sadhu, I used to wear vibhuti on my forehead, and Bhagavan would say, "Are you wearing all this to impress others?" This had a profound impact on me and changed many of my assumed attitudes in life. This was great upadesa for me, that whatever I did or studied, it was to improve my life and not for attracting others by my vesha, dress and outer attitudes. This has molded my entire life. What Bhagavan told me is a blessing. Even today, when someone raises a question, I do not intellectually ponder over it, but give the answer that comes straight from the heart. Bhagavan's words, when listened to and adhered to, act very powerfully. Mother's Samadhi. I will begin with the Samadhi day. On that day, from about 5 o'clock, there was a premonition that this would be the mother's last day. Bhagavan sat by her side with one hand on her chest and the other on her forehead. Bhagavan advised everybody to go and eat, as it is considered unclean to eat in the house where a death has occurred. Upon hearing Bhagavan's words, some of the more orthodox devotees had their food, but others who felt particularly close to Bhagavan could not think about having food without him. Bhagavan continued to sit by his mother's side and kept his hands on her. Different expressions of joy and sorrow were passing over her face. Bhagavan said, "Is mother in this world?" "No, she is in different worlds, going through different experiences." We understood it to mean that she was passing through various births and the consequent experiences. It was almost certain that mother was to pass away, and people like Ganapati Muni, T.K. Sundaresa Iyer and others decided to do the Veda Parayana. On the other hand, Saranagati Ramaswamy and a Punjabi gentleman started Ram Nam Japa. Without any forethought, we joined them singing Aksharamanamale, marital garland of letters, and Arunachala Shiva. Amid this loud singing of various scriptures, mother left the body. Bhagavan continued with his hands on her heart and forehead. All of us wondered why he was still seated like that. Bhagavan said, "When Payani Swami was breathing his last, I did the same thing. I thought that the jiva had subsided in the heart and removed my hands. But he opened his eyes and the prana, life force, left through the eyes. So this time I am keeping the hands on for longer than needed in order to be sure. I learned this important secret from Bhagavan that day. Then he got up and we all ate. After food, we gathered again near the body without any feeling of pollution. Naina had raised a question in the Ramana Gita about the possibility of a woman attaining the state of realization. Bhagavan had said that the state of realization does not relate to the gross body. So we all felt that the mother had attained mukti and were very happy. The mother's face glowed with much luster. I also remembered reading somewhere about death that happens after one is purified by the purging of all impurities while in the body. In the last days of her physical life, the mother underwent a lot of purging at the hands of Bhagavan, and all the impurities had been cleansed from the physical body. Since Bhagavan had given her mukti, her whole body and face were lustrous, and it was decided that the body should be given a ceremonial samadhi instead of being cremated, as was customary for Brahmin widows. We joyfully decorated the body with kumkum, garlands and flowers. We all deliberated and it was decided that the samadhi would be made near Palitheetam. We decided to bring the body down before 5 a.m. because the crowds would become unmanageable if the news spread in the town. Ramakrishna Swami and Perumal Swami went to town and procured 2 or 3 cart loads of vibhuti, camphor, cement and other materials from the town. A few days before the mother's samadhi, Ramakrishna Swami and myself had gone up the hill and had brought back lots of bamboo sticks to Skandashramam. These were used to carry the body to Palitheetam. I was instructed to stay back at Skandashramam as telegrams had been sent to relatives at Tiruchuri and other places, and family members were expected to arrive any time. The body was kept under an aswatha tree and Bhagavan and other devotees sat near it. Relatives from Tiruchuri and other places by 7:30, and I brought them all down to Palitheetam. By this time, the whole town had come to know about the news. Shopkeepers brought supplies of camphor, bananas, etc. Scriptural chanting was begun. It looked like a temple. There were lots of cactuses at the site, and some of us busied ourselves in removing them, while Perumal Swami and others dug the pit and constructed the samadhi inside it. The construction was completed around 10:30 or 11. Bhagavan had actually marked the passages in Tirumandiram, a text written by the great saint Tirumular, which provided instructions about the procedure to be followed in burying the body of a jnani. Mother's body was placed inside the samadhi pit. Bhagavan was the first one to throw in a lot of vibhuti, and others followed with camphor, sandalwood, etc. According to the requirement, the samadhi was then closed, some stones placed over it, and a small shrine constructed over it. It was a glorious sight. After this ceremony, we all went to Padakattu, where arrangements had been made to feed about 200 people. Bhagavan started walking with other devotees towards Padakuttu, a distance of a few hundred yards. Leading the procession were musicians playing the Nadaswaram and drums, so that it took close to 2 hours to cover this short distance. Bhagavan walked so very slowly and majestically that it was a sight even for celestial beings. After completing the day's work, we all came back to Skandashramam. Some of those who had assembled there felt that building a samadhi was not enough and that a lingam should be installed there. Daily worship performed and mandala abhishekam, the concluding puja, performed on the 48th day. Accordingly, a lingam was placed over Mother's Samadhi. Chinnaswamy and some others would perform the puja in the morning and then come up to Skandashramam for lunch. More construction was completed over the Samadhi before the 48th day, the day for mandala abhishekam. Bhagavan and all of us came down to Palitheetham for the ceremony. Now there was no place to rest for Bhagavan there except for a small room at the Ganapati temple, so Bhagavan rested there. Kumbakonam Rangaswami Iyengar made many different kinds of prasad that day, and the mandala abhishekam was celebrated on a grand scale. After this ceremony, some felt that a more elaborate and proper shrine should be built, but at that time Chinnaswamy and Dandapani Swami, a new arrival and an excellent cook, used to do the puja, cook, eat and come away. So the plans for construction were postponed. In those days, some devotees from town used to send a tapal peti, a bag of daily rations, to Skandashramam. Chinnaswamy and Dandapani Swami used to take most of it down to the samadhi site, so that we had only a little left for people up at Skandashramam. Vasudeva Swami, one of those who used to send this food, came to know about this and sent a written message saying that the food sent up to Skandashramam was intended for Vasudeva Krishna and not for Vasudeva, Krishna's father. Bhagavan, who happened to see this, remarked, "How did Vasudeva come without Vasudeva?" Bhagavan conveyed through this remark that he wanted the provisions to be sent down, and so all kept quiet. Soon Chinnaswamy and Dandapani Swami started making elaborate food preparations, and the morning coffee at the foot of the hill by Mother Samadhi. So Ramakrishna Swami and others were tempted to come down. One day Chinnaswamy invited me to come down to eat the special midagu dosai that he was making. He told me that he would make enough for me to be able to take some back for Bhagavan at Skandashramam. I came down the same night thinking that this way I could take dosas to Bhagavan early in the morning. It seems that Bhagavan had inquired about me that night, and Ramakrishna Swami, who was attending on Bhagavan in my absence, told Bhagavan where I had gone and why. Now it was Bhagavan's habit to come down the hill early in the morning to answer nature's call and also to visit Mother Samadhi. That day Bhagavan came down early in the morning, covering himself with his shawl, as it was winter. He came down and said, "Is there anything for an atithi guest?" I looked up and was thrilled to see Bhagavan standing before me. Hearing me, Chinnaswamy and others came and requested Bhagavan to stay, and eat the dosas, promising to have some sent up for people at Skandashramam. There used to be a stream running through the ashramam. I gave Bhagwan a neem stick to brush his teeth with. He washed in the stream and then had hot dosa and coffee made with goat's milk. He jokingly remarked that he now understood why everyone was tempted to come down from Skandashramam. To be continued.